Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890 925 KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for being here. We are excited about the program we have to have prepared for you today. Please take down our telephone number and mark down our website address. If, as we go through this message, anything appeals to you, if you'd like to reach out to our office, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 435-477-6999. Again, that's 435-477-6999, or you can find out more about us on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com.
And so, as we start to come out of this cold, dark winter of life, out of hibernation, and are getting excited about expecting to see sunshine and warmth and all the things that make life worth living. And I would say that,
after this week, of course.
Yeah, not this week. As we're preparing for this future, and not only is our, has it been a significantly colder, more snow-laden winter than we've seen in the past, but, man, it really feels like there's just this overwhelming darkness when it comes to the news and, problems in the world and all of that. So we're looking at ways to, remove that fear and loathing and that, that sense of dread. And we think that being prepared might be a good option. So today we want to talk about opportunities that we have to prepare for things and I guess, take away the fear of what could be.
With all the chaos that is constantly in the news, shortages, inflation, division, global warming, or whatever is causing you to lose sleep, we want to stop the madness and bring a sense of calm and positivity that is far more healing.
So there are a lot of fear mongers out there. I think if you listen to the news, you'll hear a lot of people who keep, banging the drum of, misery and despair and everything else. They want to whoop you up into frenzy and fear everything that's going on around us.
And talk about the great divisions instead of how we are so alike and have so much in common.
Yeah. So, they certainly were able to accomplish that with COVID. I think the noise was there was going to be this huge argument, and there was, and we all found ourselves on one side or another of an argument that we probably didn't expect to be in. Almost none of it was founded on any fact. That there was 2 years where we on Elder Care Radio were trying to bring kind of a reasonableness to the conversation.
Balance.
Yeah, and we called that COVID good news because there was so much bad news about it, but it wasn't based on fact or understanding or data. And so we started bringing that to light, and I think that made a lot of difference. And from the responses we got from, people that heard us, we think we did good work. And so we kind of want to keep going with that. So we are going to provide you data and facts and without all the hyperbole, and we'll start shedding some light on this basis of information so that we can eliminate the boogeymans in the corner.
It's probably important to remember that whenever there's opposition or something negative, there's always a positive outcome or a silver lining. And I think that's what we tried to shine a light on during very, very difficult times, that every time there was a yin, there was a yang. There was, a negative and a positive to be seen. And I think it's important as we navigate life and the craziness and the world that's all around us, remember there's always hope and there's always something positive very nearby if we just open our eyes and look for them.
All right, so today we're going to try and give you some things that you can actively participate in that may help you, eliminate some of the fear and dread that we have. We're going to take away all that that spin. And when we did that with COVID, it made that a much smaller threat, and we then could actually develop a plan, couldn't we? Once we realized that it was no more deadly than the flu and those kind of things, it just made perfect sense. Now, what we're not going to talk about is all the politics and profiteering that went on.
No more masks, then double masks, then masks that didn't really do anything. No more talks of vaccines or boosters or more vaccines than boosters that aren't perfect and promises that they would stop coronavirus and then that they would reduce the symptoms. Let's just move past and talk about some positive things and some ways that we can be prepared. What's the old adage, the quote, that if you're prepared, you should not fear?
Yeah, something
like
that.
Come on. How does it go? Andy?
If you're prepared, ye shall not fear.
I think you have it on your wall.
Yeah.
Wow, you are good.
There you go.
So we are not going to talk about the fact that surgical masks went from, you know, a rather obscure industry to pushing $20 billion.
Wow.
And so we're not going to talk about some of the profiteering and, you know, politics that went on with all of the decision-making as to what's going to be promoted out there.
And sadly, that is often another byproduct of sensationalism, that there's some profiteering to be had.
Yeah. So we're not going to talk about all the pressures that turned, you know, every COVID-related hospital visit or death into a cash cow for the hospitals. We're not going to talk about that.
We're not even going to mention it.
I think we just did.
No. We are also,
that's Richard.
We are also not going to talk about all this stuff that went on that actually doubled Pfizer's revenue from $41 billion to $82 billion in just 1 year. And that was between 20 and 21.
We're
and
not then, even going to look that information up.
Right. And in 22, we're not going to talk about them going to $100 billion because of all of this frenzy that was put on there. So we're going to talk about things that are within the grasp of what we can do. That's
can
our goal.
I just say, I literally said to him, do not bring up the fact that the hospitals started acquiring so many other assets around them, like, you know, assisted livings and the long-term cares and home health and hospice agencies. And then you bring it right up.
I didn't bring those things up.
Well, you talked about
I think you did. All right. The reason we weren't going to talk about it was because there does seem to be a land grab in the medical industry where, you know, there's this everybody's trying to get together to create, you know, more profit centers and things like that. And so it's important for you to understand the difference between independence and big institutional organizations. And you should make informed decisions about what you're using.
Well, and we never even discussed this, but it was interesting that when we walked in on the news right before this, they talked about an SEC settlement. And I just think that, you know, it's often, there is often some undisclosed byproducts that you should just, if you're advocating for yourself, if you're making decisions that are in your best interest, you really should look at all the dynamics around it and make sure that you are choosing what's best for you and not necessarily what's best for the person recommending. And I say that, I welcome the competition. I say that about us as well. When people investigate and call our company and ask what we're willing to provide, I'm always willing and very, very open. And I tell people, if you want to check our competition, please do. Check out other hospices. We are the only hospice specialist in all of Utah. We're the only one that has an expanded palliative program here today. We are trying to encourage our neighbors to provide more services and more hours, more benefits. But until they do, I don't fear the competition at all. I know that we are setting standards far beyond what anyone else is right now.
Well, and I think most of the conversations we've had with other people and other companies is they, you know, they know that they can't do what we do because they're not allowed to. Not because it's not physically possible, but the companies that are providing hospice as a sideline are looking at it as just a profit center, and, you know, they want to provide the least amount of care in order to get the most amount of revenue. We're on the other side of that. We just try and provide the greatest care because we know that that's important. And the business will function if we are successful at providing care for people.
Well, and I think it's important to note that it's part of your Medicare benefit that you are either receiving or you are not. There's no cost, no deductibles, no co-pays. If you're eligible, it's yours, and you should be able to receive or have access to it. And that's really why we opened, is to provide access to your Medicare benefit that wasn't available to you prior.
Right, and to broaden the level of cares that are available for you to choose from, because it should be about patient care.
Right. And patient choice. I think that's important. It is patient choice. Many people don't realize that. And I think that's where we started this and kind of diverged just a little bit. But beneficiaries need to understand that it's always about your choice. So regardless of where the recommendation comes from, or, you know, if your doctor has a financial interest in a company, obviously he is going to say, use this company. But then you need to understand that you have the option of checking out two or three or four mm-hmm. companies to see what is being offered to you. You should be, you know, capitalizing on your best interest, not your doctor's or the hospital's best interest, but what's in your best interest.
All right, so we went way off a tangent here that we've been working on, you know, personally, because there's certainly a lot of people trying to create exclusive contracts and then raise costs. There's a facility in town that has said they're only going to use one pharmacy, and if anybody chooses a different one, they want to charge them an extra $2,000 a month for care. That, you know, ridiculous.
Doesn't seem fair.
We're not going to put any names to that. You can probably find that yourself just by asking questions. And we would recommend that everybody ask questions when you're getting involved in those things. But going back,
part of being prepared is knowing, knowing that you are in control, that you have options. That is a huge part of being prepared.
And I appreciate you bringing that back around to what we are intending to talk about today. So we intended to talk about opportunities and ways that we can prepare better, because if we prepare, then we are less fearful. There's a quote, and I love it. W. Clement Stone, this was his, thinking will not overcome fear, but action will. We think that's, you know, I've always looked at that as, yes, we can do that. And we find that when we are just listening to the echo chamber of fear and all of the things that are going on in the world, and we just are cowering in the corner saying, man, this is all going to come down crashing, and we're all going to, you know, life is going to cease to exist as we know it. If we redirect our efforts into actually acting and doing something, you don't have to fix everything today, but just choose any one thing and move towards that. There's a sense of well-being that comes from that is just amazing and empowers us to keep moving forward. So be willing to start with small steps. I was reading an article on this, and it wasn't about preparation. It was about the benefit of action. They went through a number of different things. First, you know, start with small steps, how to overcome fear. Start with small steps, and we're going to recommend that. But we get into another one, and he made some very interesting quotes here that I'm going to give you. Number four in his list was get high on taking action. There is this magical, wonderful high that occurs when you've taken action that you were afraid to take. I'm not sure how many of you have experienced it, but talking to other people who have done things that terrify them, I found that I'm not alone in noticing this. Use this high to your advantage. Make it an incentive that leads you, especially in moments when you are doubtful, that you can handle the fear of taking another step. Just, you know, take that last experience of, man, it did feel good to overcome to do that. And then the next one for him was, know that action builds confidence. Deciding to take action to overcome my fears has not only meant a new skill, it has also brought me confidence in my ability to learn new things, handle mistakes, work toward and achieve a goal, and meet new people, and much more. Action has made unintended opportunities for growth beyond the specific area we decided to work on. It's in the action that we test our hypothesis about life and about ourselves. It's in the action that we grow confident about ourselves and our abilities. It's in the action that we find out what mistakes are experientially, and how much stronger we are by learning from them as we go. Certainly, these writers use bigger words than I'm used to using, so I apologize for that bad read. But we just saw that, you know, as we're breaking into spring and in the next month, having a plan to accomplish great things in that would be a good idea. So we're all about planning for preparedness, and that's really what we're trying to cover today. Because we know that this fear and dread keeps us from acting. It really does. We just feel overwhelmed, and so we do nothing. And doing nothing is the worst thing that we could do.
When I was a little younger, I used to volunteer at the Rape Crisis Center. And I remember that they had said that we naturally take one of two methods when we're being threatened. We either freeze, help me, because I'm old.
Well, the old phrase is fight or flight. However, nobody fights.
Right.
And so it's really flight or freeze.
That's what it was, yeah. Flight or freeze. We either run
Do
or we freeze.
I would.
That's, you almost have to be, yeah, that's
trained.
A learned response.
It is. It is.
And that's what we're looking for, is learning some responses.
Well, and I think that that needs to be emphasized. So in our training at the Rape Crisis Center, we literally were trained that if you do not talk about it in advance and make a decision in advance, then the natural response is to run or freeze. You have to actually take time to consider, how would I act in this situation? And then tell yourself, I would fight. Otherwise, by and large, you won't fight. And if we look at, if we reflect back on the flights of 9/11, most of those patrons on the planes did not fight. There were three people that, I believe,
out of hundreds
that had made the decision to fight and took down one of the airplanes. It's just something that we, part of being prepared is to consider and plan.
So, and that's okay. So on that, we want to help this community do all that they want to do. And so we're just going to tell you that we have some emergency preparedness planning systems, guides, resources, and we really want to share those. There's no cost. It's free. Just call our office at 435-477-6999. Let us know that you want to accomplish something, and we'll give you some resources that can help you work out a very effective plan. And it doesn't matter what things you want to solve, just what are the things that are keeping you up at night? What are the things that are an issue for you? Let's face those fears. Let's have a plan in place and make that fear so small that it no longer bothers us and that we can move on in life.
We do have a limited number of emergency preparedness planning guides and that are available to you. We would appreciate you calling our office in advance so we can set one aside for you. We don't necessarily have them in our small office. I keep them in a warehouse. So I need to know how many people are going to be stopping by and when you'll be stopping by, and I'll pick them up and bring them to our office.
Right. So first part of your plan should be gather the resources that you need to accomplish that. So again, this is just where we're going to start with that. So no matter the disaster of the day, right? And it seems like every day, Andy, you do the news all the time. Disaster every day, right?
Every day.
And whether it's snow in the northern part of the state, that's a disaster, and you should be prepared. I would hope that most people in the northern part of the state have a snow shovel, you know, and maybe a window scraper. I know that here in southern Utah, or
I don't.
Well, here specifically in the Washington County area, you know, when you get into Iron County, I think everybody has a scraper for the windshield.
You bet.
But those little bits of preparedness just make sense because it makes it a lot easier. And so we should just analyze the areas that we have concerns on. You know, are you in fear of being out of touch with people? I mean, if that is, then make a communication plan. Imagine that it's a disaster of some kind, okay? And you can't get a hold of everybody that you want to, but you want everybody to know that you're safe. You and the people you know should probably just get together and say, okay, so let's have an organized plan of communication. If I can get a hold of one person, then they will know who they can get a hold of for me to pass that information on, those kind of things. And if everybody works in concert in that type of plan, not a problem. And would you believe we have resources for that?
Right,
we have a little booklet that'll help you walk through that if you need that. So feel free to give us a call. If you feel inadequately prepared to leave your home, you know, because it could be that there's an evacuation. There was an evacuation in Ohio. I don't know how many of those people were prepared to pick up and leave for a period of time.
And evacuations in California for mudslides or earthquakes.
Or fires or those kind of things. And all of those exist in different parts of the country. We don't want you to be concerned about a railroad problem here in St. George. We don't have a railroad coming through St. George. We don't want you to worry about mudslides, you know, and forest fires. We don't have a lot of forests.
But you never know what the emergency might be.
Right.
And I think it's important to always be prepared. There are proven simple things that we can do in every emergency that will be far more effective than just worrying about them. Again, if we are prepared, we won't have the fear. Elder Care Radio always wants to be that reasonable source for good information and to help you in that time of need. If you have any concerns or if you are looking for any additional information, we would love to hear from you. No matter the disaster of the day, and there does seem to be a new one every day, just take it as slow as you can tolerate and just be engaged.
Working towards that plan, because if you are engaged, if you are actually actively pursuing a solution, then you're going to feel much better. So don't be that victim that just stands and waits for somebody to come and save them. Be prepared. Fight, right? There was a travesty in Las Vegas, and it was 20 years ago or so. They found a girl who was beaten to a pulp, and she had no skin under her fingernails.
Right. She was stabbed, and she only had defensive wounds blocking wounds on the outsides of her hands. And one of the things that the police stations really did after that, she was just a high school student, is they took forth a lot of effort to go throughout the community and train the youth that you have to fight to defend yourself. They literally had no evidence against whoever committed this terrible atrocity, because she only had wounds from protecting herself, from hiding her face and hiding her chest, but she had no defensive wounds whatsoever.
So in these times where we're just dealing with fear, there isn't a problem to solve today, but we have a fear that there is. That is the perfect time to take control. Take control of everything you can control. And if you focus on that, then you don't have to worry about the things you can't control. If there's nothing you can do about global warming today, then don't worry about that. And I'm not trying to...
But be prepared.
Yeah, be prepared. If global warming is going to be the issue, then let's prepare for it. We can all make efforts at trying to reduce that, but that doesn't mean the effort that I make isn't going to eliminate it. So since I can't eliminate that problem, I'm not going to worry about that problem. I'm going to worry about the problems that I do have some control over.
Right.
So if we can stay focused on that, we're going to be much better.
And just be prepared for whatever emergency or natural disaster that might come. And part of being prepared is knowing how to prepare. And we are willing to help you with that with these manuals.
And we'll help you at any level that you want to. If you want to take on the whole enchilada, would you believe that we actually have a comprehensive preparedness guide? That's what it's called, comprehensive preparedness guide. We have community preparation guides. And if you want to start a community emergency response team, if you, in your community, want to start an emergency response team, we have the manuals for that. We have an instructor's manual. We have a participant's manual. We're happy to let you have those so that you can build that team, because I will tell you that working together makes work much lighter.
It does.
So if you want to do that, then great. And also, in case you didn't know, about 1/4 of our population is youth. And so if you want to engage the youth in some emergency preparedness, would you believe that we have some resources for that? We will happily share those. Just call us and tell us what things you want to work on, or if you're not sure, tell us what fears you have, and let's see if we can work that out. We will give you some action plans to solve that.
If you know a youth that is looking for a project that can boost their resume as they go off to college for leadership and for community involvement, perhaps have them call our office. We would love to help them with providing one of these manuals so that they can prepare a community and help a community get prepared for a natural disaster should one come our way.
Right. So this broadcast is really all about helping everyone reduce their stress and anxiety, not to add to it. If we've made it you more uncomfortable, we apologize. We'll try and work with
that
you to reduce that.
That was not the intent. We're just trying to promote preparedness.
Right, because do we believe the world's going to end tomorrow?
No.
Do we believe that life will, as we know it, will cease? No, not, and this is where I'm going to go in with, not for everyone, but there are people that will, right? This is what hospice is about, and we want to help everybody in the community. We specifically and especially want to help those that are at that really critical time where they actually know what is probably going to be the end of their life, and help them deal with that in the best way we can. Not to make it workable, to make it the best life possible.
Our goal is to help you live your best life for as long as we can help you live. If you are interested in any of these guides or resources, please give our office a call. Our telephone number is 435-477-6999. Again, that number is
435-477-6999. The 477 is on the left of your keypad, and the 6999 is on the right. And our website is pathwayhospicecare.com.
Thank you for being here, everyone. We look forward to speaking with you next week.